What's up, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to Sync Music Mondays. That's right. Every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Y'all know the vibes, man. Financial literacy for your music. And, you know, whether you're a rapper, singer, producer, whatever it is that you do, we got you covered in regards to monetizing your music with the latest and greatest. Shout out to my brother JS, aka The Best. He couldn't be here today. He's in D.C., but I'm holding it down for the team. And as always, we start off with the word of the day. So y'all going to see this up on the screen. The word of the day is, if you accept the bare minimum from yourself, you'll tolerate it from other people. Fix that. I'll say it one more time. If you accept the bare minimum from yourself, you'll tolerate it from others. Fix that. I think a lot of times in life, like, people kind of get offset or off track because they might be stressed, they might be overwhelmed, and they're trying to do so many things, so they accept the bare minimum. But you got to be careful with that, because a lot of times the bare minimum will keep you complacent. The bare minimum will keep you from reaching the level of success that you want to obtain. So I always tell people, hold yourself to a higher standard. Hold yourself to the standard of excellence and greatness to be that which you know you are. Because at the end of the day, when you hold yourself to that barometer, people around you have no choice but to either elevate or separate. I'll say that again. People around you are either going to elevate or separate. So they're either going to climb with you or they're just going to fall off. So I think that's important. You know, I heard Tyler Perry, he dropped some gems and he was at InvestFest and he said, you know, as you see a rocket start to lift up, you know, it starts to break off certain pieces because they can no longer stay on the rocket as it elevates. And just treat yourself like that rocket. You know what I'm saying? Elevation or separation. Either people with you or they're going to fall off. And that is the word of the day. But today, we got a special guest in the building. This is one of my guys, man. One of my producers that I've worked with, very talented. He is a veteran when it comes to the music licensing industry. He has worked with Vogue. He has worked with Burberry. He has worked with a slew of companies that you probably know, but didn't know he was doing the music. And this is no other than my guy, Yanni, aka Heavy Vision for what we do. Yanni, what's up, bro?
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, man. Happy to have you, man, and looking forward to a fruitful conversation, man. So I kind of gave like a glossed overview of who you are, but in your own words, can you tell the Sync Music Mondays crew who is Yanni, aka Heavy Vision?
Yeah, I guess I'm a producer, composer. I work on my own music for Sync. I work still with a little bit with other artists as well, producing for them. I run a consultancy, mentoring emerging artists as well, trying to help them fast track their careers. Like, I've done teaching this kind of stuff in music production programs in universities as well, stuff like that. And I create music for all kinds of different scenarios. So yeah, film, TV, I create bespoke music for people's projects. I create immersive, interactive music as well. Like, that's a whole other thing that we probably haven't got time to talk about today, but like, yeah, creating music that goes with visuals in some way, I guess, is my main thing.
Dope, Yanni. So, you know, I guess like a question that I have for you is like, how did you get started in music? Like, you know, growing up, was that something that always piqued your interest, or is this something that you kind of just progressed with over time? Like, how did you get started and when did you get started in music?
Yeah, I mean, I always loved music, and I guess from when I was about 14, I got into a band, basically. Like, if you love music in my hometown, that was probably your route in. It was that kind of town. So like indie bands, rock bands, stuff like that. So I joined my first band when I was about 14, and I loved it. And sort of, I guess before then, I loved music, but I didn't know I wanted it as a career. But like playing my first shows a couple of years later was like, it was about the same time I got my first like normal job working in a shop as well. And I was like, well, I don't like working in a shop. I like being on stage. So maybe I should try and, you know, push in this direction. And yeah, that's how it all started. And then I went to university in the UK where I'm from, and did a music degree. And then, yeah, gradually over time, after that, managed to forge a career doing this.
That's fire, man. That's fire. And so as you forged your career, like, what was the very first placement you would say that you were able to get? And, you know, kind of like, can you talk about that song that was placed and the company it was placed with?
Yeah, so I'd already done like a couple of, I guess, more bespoke things for people, like working with directors, creating music for them.
And Yanni, not to cut you off, but for the listeners that might not know what the term bespoke means, because a lot of times we see that term bespoke music, bespoke compositions. Can you explain to them what that is, bespoke?
So like, this is not me taking a pre-existing piece of music, that's me watching the film and creating something specifically for that film. So something where the timings match. And I'm like normally having a conversation with the director. They want something, they got a vision for their film. And I'm there to basically help them to realize that vision. So that's creating like a specific, it's like, you know, it's like what Hans Zimmer or someone like that does for a Hollywood movie. But like for me at the time, definitely it was much smaller scale. It was like short films. Maybe they were corporate films. Maybe they were like films for film festivals and stuff like that. So it's maybe only like a 4 minute, 5 minute project, but the process is kind of the same. I'm creating a bespoke piece of music for this film. And Sync, at that point, Sync wasn't really on my radar. I don't think I really understood the world at all. I don't know if I even knew the word Sync. But the first one that came up was, we had some music sitting, so this was my band at the time, we had some music sitting with a company called Centric in the UK. So I don't know if you know those guys, they're more like an administrator rather than a sync agent. So they like administer your royalties that come in. But they managed to get one of our songs placed on Sky Sports, which is a big sports network, is the biggest sports network in the UK, in Europe maybe even. And yeah, I guess people there liked it because, I mean, to this day, that's my most successful song. I think it's been placed 15 to 20 times. And that was like a real like alarm bell going off. I was like, oh, right, this is something I can do. This is something that can make some money. And like, we already had that song sitting there. Like, you put the hard work into creating this piece of music and it's like, all right, but it can get used again and again and again, and I'm going to get paid each time. So it seemed to me, yeah, this could be an interesting thing to explore a little bit more, right? And so that was, I guess that was 2016 or something. So not that long ago, maybe 2015. But after that, I decided to get a little bit more serious about Sync and trying to figure out what it was and find out the business side of things and find out how to like hook up with sync agents and stuff like that. Like all the information that you guys are giving on this podcast, that was stuff that I was like scrabbling around trying to find out for myself, because podcasts like this didn't exist 7 years ago.
right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess that was the start. And it's become, yeah, I guess like what a main strand of what I do.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And now for something like that, Yanni, just so the listeners are clear, because we always try to give like perspective and context. So for like a placement like that, you know, you don't got to give the rough exact figure, but I guess in the ballpark, like how much can artists normally expect for a placement maybe of that magnitude, like on a monetary end?
So that one, because it was in the UK, it wasn't huge per placement because there's a blanket license. So I don't know if you guys have covered that.
So you can break that down for the listeners too. What is a blanket license?
So basically, I think there's a few exceptions, but like broadcasters in the UK work directly with PRS, which is our collections agency, so like our version of BMI and ASCAP. Mm-hmm. And they have like a deal in place where they don't need to get a sync license every single time they use your piece of music. So basically it allows them, I guess, access to a wider range of music that they can just kind of grab and use. And they're not paying as much per placement. So in the US, you tend to get more per placement, I think. Certainly has been my experience than in the UK. But even in that case, like when you're picking up royalties from all the different streams, then Yeah, it's at least like hundreds per placement, maybe more. And then obviously, if you've got more placements with the same song over time, then that kind of can add up to being a decent income in the end.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, definitely. You know, I tell artists all the time, it's like, you know, from the inception of your idea to the actual conception of the digital product, that it varies from placement to placement. You know, I've had placements where I've gotten $20,000. I've had placements where I've gotten $500. So it really varies in regards to like the usage of the actual song. And also, a lot of times I've found as well, if you have something that's exclusive as opposed to non-exclusive, exclusive music normally gives you the ability to have leverage. So a lot of companies that pitch my stuff exclusively, they'll pay out a higher rate for me because they'll say, hey, you know what, this is an exclusive K-Spark song. Like, you're not going to find it nowhere else. And this will actually add impact to your TV show, to your movie, because it's so good and it's a one-of-one. So I think that's a gem for a lot of artists out there to be mindful of too, is that you don't want to spread yourself too thin. You know, shout out to Jen from Audio Socket, the CEO. I just had her on, and we spoke about the same thing. It was like making sure that your content, you're not spreading yourself too thin, that you're not in multiple libraries, because that does diminish the value of your content. So, you know, just be mindful of that. That's a quick gem for the artist. But in addition to that, Yanni, so, you know, what I wanted to ask you as well is, like, in terms of your production style, talk about the different type of styles that you create and why you create those styles for a lot of producers out there that want to get into licensing and might not know, like, you know, how they should be producing their tracks.
Yeah, it's a good question. So, like, I mean, I work on quite a wide variety of styles. Like, for me, it keeps me kind of interested in what I'm doing every day. I love working, like, on an indie track one week and a hip-hop track the next week and an orchestral thing the week after. But when it comes to sync, I feel like you have to be a bit more targeted than that. So this is me, like, as an artist across everything. Like, what I'm doing with the Heavy Vision project, which is like where we work together, it's really, that's like epic cinematic hip hop, basically. And that is created with the idea of this music being synced. I was looking at the landscape, and a little bit this comes back to, you know, the first track I told you about that got all those placements in the UK, because it was kind of in that lane, actually, and it was successful. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this style works. So I'm talking about, it's hip hop, but with big percussion and like with some heavy guitars in the mix and with kind of sweeping strings and stuff like that. So especially for like sports placements, things like that, you hear a lot of that stuff on TV. So yeah, breaking it down for, I guess, people that are looking to get into it, start by, watch TV, watch movies, like think about the music that's being used. Like, what kind of music do you keep hearing all the time? Because that's what there's obviously a demand for. But I think it's not just a case of going, all right, this kind of music's popular, I'm going to go and make it. I feel like you have to have some kind of feel for that music yourself. You have to be a fan of that style of music as well. Like I'm saying, I was making this kind of music before I got synced anyway. So obviously this was music that I loved and music that I wanted to work on. I know people and other producers that have kind of just had an eye on the money and have been like, okay, this kind of music is popular in sync. I'm going to try and make this kind of music and I'm going to make money on this. But like, if you're not listening to that kind of music yourself, if you don't have a feel for it, then people are going to recognize that when they hear it. It's not going to ring true, I think. So it's about finding that matchup. Like, what am I good at that can also be heard often on TV, on movies, things like that, and then putting it together. But then, of course, like, you've got to think about the lyrics and stuff. And I'm pretty sure you guys have talked about this as well, right? So it's about universal themes, not being too specific, like not using people's names, maybe not using place names, things like that, not using curse words, like all of these things. If you're too specific or if there's cursing or whatever, it rules you out of a lot of placements. So it's about trying to keep yourself in the running, I guess, for as many of those as you can. All of that said, like, I've got friends who have broken all those rules and have still got placements because those tracks were just right for that scene or whatever it was. So like, if you've got music finished, then yeah, why not put it out there? But I think if you're making music specific for this, it's worth bearing those things in mind.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a lot of gems and a lot of key points that you mentioned as well. Like, you know, I feel that artists should be mindful of that. One major thing you said was like, don't mention specific brands, like, because sometimes you can shoot yourself in the foot, for lack of better words, if, you know, if it's a spot, if Arby's wants to use your song, but in there, you know, you're talking about Big Macs, you're kind of doing yourself a disservice because, you know, Arby's is not going to co-sign that. They're like, yo, we love the record, but you played yourself. You talk about McDonald's, we're not McDonald's. So try to avoid brands as much as possible. Obviously, if you're mentioning the brand name because it's exclusive for that song, that's fine. But try to stay away from that. Also, in addition to that, like you said, just be cognizant of, you know, how your approach is with the music. Like, you know, try to stick to music that you're good at. It's nothing wrong with trying new different styles, like Yanni said, but don't chase trends. Just be impactful. That's the most important thing. Like, you know, if you're good at one thing, that's amazing and that's good enough. You know, you don't have to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. You can master what you do well and you can monetize it, you know?
100%. And I also think that it helps you to become known if you're doing one thing really well. And then people, if they've used your track on something else, on another project, they might come back to try and find more from you. And if your music is like all across different genres, then they're going to find it very difficult to find a song that was a bit like the one that they used before. So if they know they can come to you and you're like really, really good in one lane, then you could become their go-to guy for that thing, right? So I think it makes sense in a lot of ways to, yeah, choose one thing. And I mean, I don't always follow this advice myself, but it is good advice, I think, to choose one thing, become really good at it, become a go-to guy for it.
Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt, I agree 110%, man. So, quick question, Yanni. Like, what are some of the placements that you're most proud of? Like, some of the spots that you got where you was like, man, I love this. This is fire.
I feel like a big one for me was probably the first one I got in the US, which was on ABC Family on a show called Chasing Life. Just because it was the first one in the US, and like for you guys, obviously you're based there, so like you have your focus on that market, but I think for everyone else probably worldwide, we're also focused on that market because it's the biggest one there is, and it's such a center for music. But like, and actually this was a co-production with a guy I work with who's based in New Jersey actually as well. So a guy called Jeff Dembiak. We got our placement over there. That was my first one on sort of network TV in the US, and it just felt like kind of a stepping up of stuff. So yeah, that was a good one. There are some, because I've got some tracks in libraries as well. So I know you've broken down in the past the difference between sync agents and libraries. And some of the library ones are cool. Like you mentioned Burberry. In the intro, I got a placement with them last year and I didn't know about it because that was a library track. Like no one got in touch with me to tell me about it initially. Mm-hmm. Like it comes through in the reports. But the first time I knew about it, I started getting royalties and I was like, oh, this song's been used by someone and I didn't know who it was used by. And so I Googled it. I was like, who's using my song? And then it comes up that Burberry have been using it, I think in China or something. And I'm like, that's amazing. Wow. Like my music has just popped up on the other side of the world with this great brand. I didn't know anything about it, but like once your music's out there, like it's crazy these different places it can end up. And yeah, I think that's quite exciting as well.
Yeah. Well, that's fire, man. That's really dope. You know, it's a great feeling when you can actually see your content out there in the world on a global scale and you're monetizing it, you know. So that's great. You know, a question I have for you, Yanni, is like in terms of the artists out there that are producing tracks, they want to get their music out there. They don't necessarily know how to do that. What's some advice that you would have for producers that want to get into sync?
It can really be a great idea to like hook up with a sync agent, someone who's going to represent your music, someone who's going to have all those contacts in the industry that you don't. So if you don't know how that works, then they'll pitch your music for projects. They will take a cut of the money that comes through, but they're going to get more work than you can on your own because they have all those connections. They're getting all those briefs. They're doing a professional job. They've got these relationships that they can lean on. So I think it's really great to have someone like that out there fighting your corner. When it comes to finding a sync agent that suits you, you probably need to do a bit of research on that one as well. You want to find, I think, an agent that has probably some experience with the genre of music that you make, but maybe doesn't have an artist that sounds just like you, because if they've got someone else that sounds the same as you, or if they've got a few acts that sound similar to you, it's going to be difficult for you to maybe even get pitched by that sync agent, because they're making, maybe going to choose one of these other guys first. So it's worth taking the time. Like, I think research is important. Who are the sync agents out there that are getting placements? What is their roster? Do you think you'd be a good fit? Can you like provide something to them that they don't have already? Those are probably the people you need to be chasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And in your experience, Yanni, because this is a key gem, a lot of times artists want to know where to submit their music. So what are some companies that, not necessarily that you're co-signing them, but you've had a certain amount of success with, that you feel are some companies that artists might be able to submit their music to? Are there any that you would recommend?
You just mentioned AudioSocket, right? And I think they're a great company. I mean, I think it's a good place to look. I know they have a lot of people submitting music to them all the time. Like, I think if you submit to them, you've got to wait 3 months or something for them to even look at your music. But yeah, they're great people. I think that's really important as well. It's not just that they're getting placements, that, you know, you can have a good relationship with the people who work there. There's open channels of communication, all this kind of stuff. I think they're definitely worth a look. And yeah, I guess, I think Centric is still doing a good job in the UK. To be honest, I have not had any music with them for a while, but I know they've got like a massive catalogue, but I think they do good things with it. They're working hard for their artists, as far as I can tell. I certainly had a good experience with them a few years ago. So maybe if you're based in Europe, they might be one to check out as well.
Got you. You still with Centric now, or no, you're no longer with them? Okay. Gotcha. Well, that's great, man. Well, that's a lot of gems right there. So, well, you know, for the people that don't know, me and Yanni, we have a great working relationship. We've done some phenomenal tracks together. We got some big major placements coming down that we can't talk about just yet. We got lip seal, you know. NDA, non-disclosure agreement, but some big stuff coming. So you know, in terms of, I guess, just the future, Yanni, like, what can people expect from you, man? What are the great, phenomenal things on the horizon for you, man?
Yeah, well, I guess trying to get more of this music out there. So, like, again, by working on a few different projects at the same time, it's difficult to devote as much time as you'd like to all of them. But definitely working on more heavy vision stuff. There's more stuff coming this year. Like I said, I've been doing these big interactive music pieces, that's a lot of work, but I've got things like, I'll explain it very briefly. It's like you put on your headphones and you open an app on your phone and it's linked to GPS. And so you can go for like a walk around a park or something. And I've basically written music for that park. So as you're walking around, the music matches your location and it changes depending on where you are. So if you're by a stream, then it reflects that. If you move away, then it reflects that, and so on. So like, this is, yeah, I guess, trying to make use of cutting edge technology, trying to deliver music in different ways. But it's been a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work as well. So more of that stuff coming.
Awesome, man. And I guess, Yanni, for anybody out there that wants to connect with you, like, how can they connect with you, like, via social media or your website? Like, run it up. Tell them all the ways, brother.
The best place to connect with me and probably see everything that I do is my music production business as a whole. It's called Cloak & Dagger Music. So you can find that at cloakanddagger-music.com. And there, that's like a hub for everything. So it's got the Heavy Vision project on there. It's got my immersive music. The other place, I guess, is my consultancy. It's called Surface to Air Agency. And you can find that side of things, like if you're interested in mentorship or anything like that, the website is s2a-agency.
Got you. Well, that's definitely fire, Yanni, man. Well, you know, we appreciate you tapping in, man, and coming on the show and just looking for amazing, great things from you, man. Because, I mean, you're always getting placements. You're always, like, doing your thing. So, yo, major shout out and much success as always, my brother. Definitely, brother. So y'all know what it is. Sync Music Mondays every week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. K-Sparx, JS, a.k.a. The Best. We are Sync Music Licensing in the coolest form. Shout out to y'all, and until next week.